Now, this week, pre-legislative scrutiny of the International Protection Bill began at the Oireachtas Justice Committee. The government says the bill will streamline the application process and enhance decision-making, bringing Irish laws in line with the EU Migration and Asylum Pact. At the committee meeting on Tuesday, a number of issues around the safeguarding of children seeking asylum were raised, including how age is verified, how many children go missing from state care, and if children could be placed in detention centres on arrival into the country. There was also the issue of legal advice and the quality thereof that was offered to people seeking international protection. Members of the committee were pretty shocked to see how many of the areas had a lack of clarity around them, particularly over the treatment of children. So I'll go to you first on this, Roger O'Gorman. Has this strayed from where the policy was going when you were minister?
Well, I suppose the first thing I'd raise a concern about is in terms of the lack of detail going into a pre-legislative scrutiny process. The opportunity there is for people to look at it in detail, tease out some of those basic issues, and that will actually give a stronger bill once it's finished. And it was disappointing to see how light in detail the department and the minister were in this process.
Let's take some of them sequentially.
Yeah.
Children and whether or not children will be detained. Are you clear after the proceedings of the committee during the week as to whether or not children will be detained when they come here seeking international protection?
I'm not. I know that this border procedure will be applied to them. I know that from a parliamentary question I put down to the minister last week. In many countries, the border procedure involves an element of detention. There's no clarity here in terms of what that will mean for both unaccompanied children, but also children travelling with families as well. And that would be a huge departure from our approach to dealing with international protection applicants to have an element of detention. And if that did happen, there'd be very real questions in terms of access by children to education, to early year services, in terms of who would actually be responsible for those children. Would it be TUSLA? Would it be the International Protection Office? So these are fundamental changes, and they're changes that should be clear in a draft piece of legislation that's being brought to a committee.
Okay, Marion Harkin, a couple of the committee members raised the prospect of looking back in a number of decades' time at the system that was going to be applied to underage people seeking international protection or temporary protection, and wondering, would the state be wringing its hands over their treatment when that examination came about? So do you have any detail on whether or not children will be detained entering the state looking for temporary or international protection?
What I can say, Colm, is that Nuala Ward, who's the Ombudsman for Children, said that Ireland, as it is, can you hear me?
Niall Muldoon is the Ombudsman for Children.
Apologies. But Nuala Ward said that as we stand, then the treatment of children in Ireland is top of the class, or certainly in the top, as far as the EU is concerned. And while, of course, there are concerns around how children will be treated, our record to date is really probably second to none. And while we need to streamline procedures, while we need to make sure people are protected, and, you know, the fact that there won't be... People talk about detention and movement restrictions on children. It's very important to say that any detention provisions will be in full compliance with the EU Reception Conditions Directive, which is important to say was passed by the European Parliament.
Okay, I think just to be clear about what Nuala Ward was saying, she said that the current treatment of children is the envy of other European countries.
Yes,
that meeting. But she was expressing a concern as to whether that would remain the case should some of the provisions that are being proposed come into
law.
Yes,
she was. But, you know, to say that we're starting from the most positive place and, but as far as the pact is concerned, Ireland can add to it. We don't have to have just the minimum standards.
Okay,
we're already in a really positive place, and I believe that's where the government intends to remain.
Okay, Sinead Gibney.
I would say that's a misrepresentation of the contribution of Nuala Ward from the Ombudsman from Children's Office, because actually it was in response to a question which said to the full range of witnesses there, who's doing this best in class across Europe? Like, where are the jurisdictions who are doing it well? And there wasn't that many kind of concrete answers really in terms of, because actually no one has yet legislated for the implementation of the Migration and Asylum Pact. What Nuala Ward said in her contribution was, it is sad because Ireland was once best in class. And I don't believe from her contribution that she is saying that we now still are. So I do not believe that that is the starting place from where we are going. And I think that is demonstrated by the report that came out from EPIC last week, which talks about the experience of unaccompanied minors in particular in our care system, which is failing all of these individuals. And then furthermore, we only need to look to what happened just a number of months ago when a number of children were taken in front of their peers in a classroom to go on a deportation flight. So I don't think that was what Nuala was saying. Now, I think you can, anybody can look back at the committee and take their own assessment of it. But she was pointing to the fact that there was
Are you referring to the situation in City West? I think, before, I think it was before they went to, in front of their peers in City West before they went to school, I think, was rather than in the classroom.
But I think, I mean, and what Nuala did finish by saying was that we have had in law a protection that children will not be in detention. And I believe that certainly what we're seeing from the heads of bill, and I agree with Roderick and yourself, Colin, that there were so many gaps in this at that committee. It was quite shocking as an attempt at PLS and a full demonstration of how this government is asleep at the wheel. But what it does do, I believe, is open the door for the detention of children. And that is hugely problematic.
OK. Can I just say, Colin,
that the government is very clear that any detention provisions will be in full compliance with the EU Reception Conditions Directive. And I mean, that was passed by the European Parliament. I was a member of that parliament for 15 years. I know precisely how that parliament views the rights of children. And to suggest that we're going backwards, we have to maintain where we are. And we are at the beginning stages of this. We're at pre-legislative scrutiny. We're looking at consultation from all the different bodies that are involved. Okay, and to make general statements like Sinead has to say, we're going in the wrong direction without actually still knowing what direction we're going in is not reasonable.
But that's my point. Can I just say, I just want to read out one quote from the IREC Chief Commissioner, who said, as a general observation, the bill goes further than the pact requires in restructuring rights and freedoms and not as far as the pact requires to protect them. I appreciate that the Migration and Asylum Pact was a big piece of work and it was a difficult piece of work to get over the line, but we as a country never had to sign up to the modules that we did sign up to, and we certainly do not have to take this restrictive approach in terms of its interpretation into our legislation.
Very briefly, I'll bring you in a minute because
If myself and Sinead have to speak in generalised statements, it's because of the lack of detail that the government has provided in this part of the process. But I think it's really important to emphasise that and Marion isn't kind of pushing back on this, if detention for children is part of this system, that represents a massive change in how Ireland approaches children seeking international protection, and there has to be clarity in terms of how the rights of those children, how their rights to education, how their rights to legal counsel, how their rights to live a normal life will be protected in any new system.
I will let you in a moment, but I do want to go back to the proceedings of the committee and give listeners a flavour of what went on there, because Senator Robbie Gallagher asked also where the unaccompanied children arriving into the international protection system and the temporary protection system were coming from.
One of the big reasons for the increase is the war in Ukraine. So the Team for Separated Children also deals with children arriving unaccompanied from Ukraine who are beneficiaries of temporary protection. And then the other international protection applicants are mainly from Somalia and Afghanistan. So obvious reasons why they would be seeking.
What percentage would be Ukrainian, we'll see, of that total?
At the minute, I think we're up to half are Ukrainian. At the moment, it was around a third for a long time, but the figures increased during the summer there of Ukrainian arrivals. Somalia and Afghanistan then are the countries that are represented most. And then we've seen a slight increase in arrivals from Vietnam. We don't know what that's about, because there hadn't been traditionally arrivals from Vietnam in a very long time. And then the remainder of the young people would be from like 20 other countries, Congo, Egypt, Eritrea, Pakistan. In terms of the ages, the vast majority of children who arrive are aged 17. And so we have 316 age 17, 127 the 316 to 17, 127 are 16. We have 36 15-year-olds, and then we have the rest of the children aged, you know, between 7 and 14 are in single figures. So the youngest child we have in our care today is 7.
All right, that was Lorna Kavanagh. She's Interim Service Director for Separated Children Seeking International Protection at Tusla, and she was speaking at that Tuesday Justice, Oireachtas Justice Committee. Marian Harkin, to you. The front page of the Daily Mail, story by the paper's political editor Craig Hughes, says that there is an increase in the number of 18 to 22 year olds arriving from Ukraine. That's reflected in what Lorna Kavanagh had to say there, and that the accommodation could run out at the end of this week. Is that correct?
Well, look, as far as Tusla is saying, there is a real challenge because there has been a 500% increase in arrivals of unaccompanied minors into the state since 2022. So, you know, let's recognise this is a real challenge and the government is trying to deal with it. But coming back to the discussion earlier and about the detention of children, this is only envisaged in the rarest possible circumstances. For example, where a child's parents are detained for serious national security or crime issues, and it's not intended or envisaged to introduce private detention facilities. So look, we're dealing with a new piece of legislation. We're at the point where we are pre-legislative scrutiny, where individuals, communities, different groups can, you know, look at what's happening and put forward their perspective. Nothing is decided, but given our record, given how good Ireland has been, if you like, in this area, I think it's scaremongering to suggest that we're going down the wrong road on this. This is delicate, it's complex, it's not simple. Okay, and as Tusla said, we have significant extra numbers coming. So we want to manage it in the most humane way.
And we know you agreed with that already. Sinead Gibney, I want to just look at the issue because it came up at the committee as well, the issue of trafficking, that I think it's the EU average of 15% is the figure they give for people who are trafficked. The Irish figure is 8%. Do we know that's because we don't have the capacity to detect how people are arriving, or is it just that the figures are lower for Ireland?
I think it's that the detection is an issue. Ireland was moved from the tier two watch list to tier two of the TTIP report. It's an international...
Just explain that.
Yeah, so it's an international kind of monitoring essentially of how each country is doing. It's a US-based one, but it is a strong one in terms of measuring how nation states are dealing with trafficking. And it does it in an international context because it is an international criminal activity and it is one of the fastest growing criminal activities. And Ireland is notoriously problematic in terms of identification and support, particularly of vulnerable groups, including children. The NRM was seen as a big, big step. That's the national referral mechanism. And it is essentially the way in which people are identified and referred to the appropriate services when they are found to be victims of trafficking. And the difficulty we have at the moment is that the frontline people who tend to be the ones who come into contact with people in trafficked situations are not well equipped enough or trained enough to deal with the issue. So the NRM, the implementation of it or the legislation of it was good, but the regulations are still not there. So although it was introduced, I think probably at this stage nearly 2 years ago, Roderick might know, it's not actually implemented yet. So we have seen improvements, but they are snail pace improvements and we need to see a lot more. And just going back though to the point about the unaccompanied children, because obviously these two questions interact. Because if we do continue to go down a route, which I believe the Migration and Asylum Pact will bring us to, and certainly with the approach of the current government, towards a more detention focused, we are at risk of putting vulnerable people, including children, in detention. And these are not issues that we have to deal with. These are humans. And I think if you listen to some of the NGOs and the work that they do, you really will understand it better. I myself took in a young man at the age of 19. This was a few years ago because he had aged out of the Tusla foster care system. I rented a room to him at a very low rate, which is what they ask people to do, so that he could get on his feet and get to a point where he could actually rent himself. And I can't tell you, at an individual level, how incredibly inspiring these people are and what they've been through is something that we have to consider more in the discussion of these topics.
The deficiencies of the system to be able to discern that, Roderick O'Gorman, date back to your time as minister.
Yeah, there are real challenges that organisations like Tusla face in terms of identifying the correctly identifying the age of people seeking international protection and ensuring that people who are 16 and 17 who may look older and whose identification document may be difficult to ascertain, how we actually ensure that they are in accommodation that's appropriate to them.
And I also think, to verify that people aren't over the age of 18,
indeed,
and therefore from a child protection point of view, they don't end up with children.
A vulnerability as well. And I think that's why that investment that I would have put into TUSLA over a number of years in terms of supporting its ability to deal with unaccompanied children seeking international protection is important. That's being maintained. It's going to have to be maintained. We've heard from the article you cited earlier on, there continue to be significant numbers of children and young people in that category, and organisations like TUSLA are going to continue to need that level of support.
There's one more issue I want to get to from the committee, and that's this issue of legal counselling, Marian Harkin, not legal advice. There's a sort of the prospect was raised of people who have no legal qualification providing the first instance legal advice to people who are seeking international protection. Why has that been introduced when it would seem to add another step to the process?
Well, look, legal advice, legal counselling, I'm not sure of the difference between them, but they are both important to the person who is seeking asylum. And can I just say, I mean, Sinead said that trafficking, it's notoriously problematic in relation to the identification of children. I absolutely agree with her. This is not a simple issue, but Ireland has a good record. There is no reason to believe we're going to change our direction on that. And you know, in regard to legal counselling, this is part of the process. It's maybe not precisely what was there before, but we are at the start of a legislative process in Dáil-Éireann, and everybody has a chance to try and influence and change.
We have other matters to cover, so I want to get a response today from Sinead Gibney on that.
Well, first of all, the direction of travel is quite clear, because this government in Programme for Government has introduced only restrictive steps. It talks about a firm but fair system for international protection, but there are no fair measures coming in. There's nothing to address the vulnerability assessments, the interpretation needs. There has been, in credit, one opening of a gender-specific accommodation centre, but that is long overdue and immediately does not meet demand. And when we get to the specific piece about legal representation versus legal counselling is a term that no one, including IREC, who are witnesses at the committee, can define. So it needs to be absolutely crystal clear that people's legal right to representation is protected within the international
Protection. Again, this represents another fundamental change that this and fundamental reduction of people's rights that this bill is potentially proposing. Will this legal counsel, will it be independent? Will it be done by someone who is competent to give some level of legal advice? Is it done individually or is it done collectively? Like, the decision on whether somebody gets international protection or not is an incredibly important legal process. And to minimise people's ability to get the fair advice, get accurate advice at this stage is a deeply worrying development.
Colm,
that this government
a sentence on this
forward.
Is really important.
And preferably if you can clear up that area, Marian Harkin.
Yeah, but what Roderick has said was that we're reducing people's rights. When he was in government, go back to 2024, 67% of all completed appeals of those seeking international protection were rejected. He was in government at that time. At the moment, 80% of appeals are rejected at the first instance.
But people had the right to legal advice, Marian, so we could stand over those decisions.
And even with that right, that's what we're looking at. So we have an issue where, you know, people are coming to Ireland seeking international protection. Some of them are entitled to it, some of them are not. And the job of this government is in a fair and humane way to make sure that those people are dealt with properly.
That's a long sentence, so we will come back. We'll
apologies,
look at this another day,
Colm,
because we have other matters to get to.